Wait. There are 700 million people who use WhatsApp frequently. This is from WhatsApp public releases where they look at people who use WhatsApp regularly every month. And that's the count. 700 million. It's a huge, huge number. And of these, 34 million are from India alone. 34 million WhatsApp subscribers in India alone who use it regularly. And every day, all WhatsApp subscribers all over the world, they send and receive 700 million messages. 700 million messages every single day go back and forth in the global WhatsApp network. Now, what does this proliferation of instant messaging tell us about ourselves? I think it's a very interesting message that is hidden underneath this proliferation of instant messaging. Simple. As a culture, we are craving for community. I read an interesting article online. The thesis of that article was essentially this, that because people are engaging more and more online through WhatsApp and other tools, because they are engaging more and more online, they are also growing in face-to-face interactions in community. And the essential piece of this article is that online is actually triggering a renewed interest and a commitment to community the world over. There was another piece I read in an online magazine called Mashable. This was an op-ed, and it made another interesting point. It said, in a grandparents' generation, community was a really big thing. Community was very strong. And this is in an American context, in an Indian context, might be slightly different. But in our parents' generation, it became diluted a little bit, and quite a bit in some cases. In our generation, online tools like WhatsApp is really getting community back up again. I think our generation is enjoying far more community than the previous generation because of what online is doing. So one could say that WhatsApp has merely reminded us of our deep need for community. It is as if WhatsApp has reawakened in us this deep need for community which we had somehow managed to stifle. I think this holds true for music. I think we are a far more engaged community because we keep chatting with each other through the week over WhatsApp. I think the consistency and the commitment that most of us show in engaging and having face-to-face community is significantly higher because of the community we enjoy on the, I think we've lost track of the number of WhatsApp groups that we have. You know, there's one for CBR, there's one larger group, one for worship, but we keep chatting through the week. And that's, I think, really brought us together as a community. We are a lot more consistent. Our community is growing deeper because of this. So today I want to talk about two gospel truths that really help build community. And I want to spend a fair amount of time talking about this very practical tool called WhatsApp, which can actually help us grow in these two gospel truths that I'm going to be talking about. And both of these gospel truths that we're going to be looking at today and this tool of WhatsApp we're going to be looking at today, I'm going to drive both of these towards what we do as a community, what we call community Bible reading, and the WhatsApp group that we have in which we share. For those of us who are new to New City, community Bible reading is a very simple tool. Bible journal is a very simple tool that we use. And the beautiful thing about CBR, community Bible reading, is that it nudges us closer to the gospel more and more, no matter which portion of scripture we're reading. I'll spend a little bit of time talking about community Bible reading a little later. So let's look at the passage I'm going to be looking at today. This is from a book called 1 John, written by a person named John. John was a disciple of Jesus. John was very, very close to Jesus.
And then one passage, one portion is described that John was actually leaning back and resting on Jesus' chest. They, you know, they enjoyed a very close relationship. And John is the author of this book called 1 John. So let me allow me to read that passage out for us. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, Jesus appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We just pray for a minute. Father God, we thank you because it is your plan and it is your heart's desire to reveal yourself to us. Lord, all of us are in various stages of our faith, but we believe that you are far more committed to our relationship with you than we are. So we believe in faith that despite our failings, despite our sins, despite our struggles, and to be honest, God, despite our disinterest in you, which is pretty evident in my life, or despite all of this, you are reaching out to us today. So we come before you depending on you, saying, will you help us, Lord, as we look at your word? Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I'm going to do is actually very simply pull out two gospel truths from this and look at one practical application. So these are the three things we're going to be looking at from the passage we read. First, proclaiming Jesus builds community. That's the first thing. Second, confessing our sins builds community. And third, we're going to look at how WhatsApp can actually be a good tool to build on these two gospel truths and make our joy complete. So that's what we have for the next 25 minutes or so. So let's get started. Let's look at the first thing that I'd like to pull out from the passage that we just read. Proclaiming Christ Jesus builds community. Look at the first passage that we read. Let me just read it again to just emphasize on things that we'd like to look at this morning. The word proclaim is actually repeated three times in just a space of four verses. And the fourth verse, we write this to make our joy complete, is actually also a proclamation. And the last proclamation is actually very significant because it was this proclamation of John made thousands of years ago, we are hearing and we are meditating now. So John makes a big deal about proclaiming Jesus. And the heart of what he is proclaiming is there in verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. John is saying, I am proclaiming Jesus amidst all of us so that we can have fellowship together. John is saying, proclaiming Jesus builds fellowship and community. I'd like to quickly look at three things in the proclamation John is making. The first thing I'd like to look at is, who is he proclaiming to? The second, what is he proclaiming? And third, how proclaiming Jesus can help build community. Who is he proclaiming to? I think the answer is pretty evident. John is proclaiming Jesus to the church, to the followers of Jesus Christ. And what is he proclaiming? That which we have seen and heard. He's proclaiming everything about Jesus, which everyone he is writing to knows all about. While the if John proclaiming Jesus over again to a bunch of people who already know everything about him? These are people who are following Jesus. So why would John do that? Let me give us a little bit of context. When John was writing this letter, there were these bunch of people called Gnostics. And that was the context in which he was writing this letter to. So the Gnostics were having an influence on the followers of Jesus. And the core philosophy of Gnostics was that everything that is good is spirit, and everything that is material is bad and you know, of no consequence at all. And because this was their belief, the Gnostics were trying to undermine the physical incarnation of Jesus. They were saying God cannot come in the flesh because the flesh is bad and dirty and sinful and it's of no consequence and all of that. So essentially, the Gnostics were saying that the material world and all that is in it, including humans, is all one big illusion and is of no consequence. And they were saying that Jesus is an illusion, and they were also saying that sin is also an illusion. Think about it. We are not too different from the Gnostics, are we? In one sense of the word, if we really look at it. Very often, even though we are followers of Jesus, even though we profess our faith in Christ Jesus, very often we live our lives, practical day-to-day, 24/7 lives in the city as if Jesus is an illusion. We live our lives as if sin is an illusion. I only have to look at my work week to see this truth evident in my own life. You know, I enjoy doing community Bible reading, I enjoy spending time with the Word. I do that in the morning most often than not. But by the time I hit my work spot and with the busyness of my work grips me, with the pressures, the challenges, and the joys of work come and hit me, truth is, Jesus has become an illusion. Yes, he is there in the back of my mind, but in reality, am I living my faith in Christ Jesus out in every situation in my workplace? The honest answer is no. It takes me till the next day CBM to realize how I have messed up the previous day. And this is a struggle. I know this. This is a struggle I've been living out, I think, for years now. And so, John is sharing this to believers, to followers of Jesus, because as followers of Jesus, all of us need to be reminded again and again. So that's the first thing. Who is John proclaiming Jesus to? John is proclaiming Jesus to believers, followers of Jesus, like you and me. Second, what is John proclaiming? John is proclaiming two things. John is proclaiming John is proclaiming two things. John is proclaiming fact and experience. John is proclaiming fact and experience. That which was from the beginning is fact. Right? There's no way John would have known that. I mean, could have known that, but you know, no way John could have experienced that. That is fact. That is truth. That which was from beginning, Jesus who was with the Father from before the beginning of time. So that is fact that John is proclaiming. The second thing that John is proclaiming is that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that we have looked at, that which our hands have touched. He is proclaiming experience. So John is proclaiming Jesus in truth and in fact. And John is also proclaiming his experience of Jesus. All of us live our lives in this big gap between what we know of Jesus and what we experience of him daily. That's what we did. All of us live in this big gap between what we know about Jesus and what we experience of him. And as we live our lives as followers of Jesus, God doesn't condemn us, God doesn't scream at us for this huge gap that exists in our lives. But what God does is He sends His Holy Spirit to enable us to bridge this gap little by little, day by day, till, you know, we become more and more like Jesus. And we're able to experience Jesus more and more. Now, I've come to understand that the entire, all of spiritual growth is actually nothing but the bridging of this gap. And that's how I'm beginning to look at us. Spiritual growth is essentially bridging the gap between what I know about Jesus and how I'm experiencing Jesus in every situation in my life. You know, in my life, this gap is the biggest when I have an argument with Ajit. Right? Now, argument is a very nice sounding word. It's a very palatable word. I think the more accurate word is fight. Yes, we do have the occasional diff, but it is during these fights, or arguments, I think I'm more comfortable calling them arguments, it is during these arguments that this gap between what I know about Jesus as a fact and what I experience of Him becomes so evident to me. You know, Ajit and I, we dearly love Jesus. And I can quote to you Ephesians 5 almost by heart. You know, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That is right. But when I have these arguments, in the heat of these arguments, I struggle to experience Christ. In the heat of such arguments, I struggle with my own disappointments. Towards Ajit, Ben was talking about how we are disappointed by people. People do let us down. I'm struggling with hurts, and she's struggling with hurts too. Let me assure you, it's not a one-way thing. You know, we both hurt each other. But as I'm experiencing, that becomes so big, and I've forgotten that I have disappointed God. I have hurt God. I have angered God with myself. God has sent His Son Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my ridiculous life. And that experience of being forgiven by Jesus, I have forgotten, and therefore I am unable to extend to Ajit the forgiveness that God has extended. You see, the gap between knowing Jesus as a fact and knowing Jesus as an experience. You know, earlier I used to think that, you know, it was only new believers or, you know, people who are just new in the faith who come to struggle. The truth is, the more I have matured as a believer in Jesus, the more I have matured as a follower of Jesus, this gap I'm learning to see is actually far bigger than what I had earlier imagined. Of course I'm getting better, I hope so too. But this gap is so big because I've learned a lot more about Jesus over a period of time, but I'm not experiencing the fullness of all of that. Perhaps, you know, I gave an example of a husband and wife, and that's true of community too. Perhaps some of us in community are struggling in terms of the conflicts and the interpersonal challenges that exist in every community. Some of us are struggling with that experience, the gap between knowing the fact about Jesus and the experience. Let me share something very interesting. You know, I think this really, to me, to my heart, it brought home this gap that exists in my heart between knowing Jesus as a fact and experiencing the reality of Jesus. And that comes from community Bible reading. You know, I have found myself, I'll talk a little bit about community Bible reading a little later for those of us who are not familiar with it. But one of the things we do is, you know, we share what did I worship God for? That's one of the things we reflect on in the passage we read. And I have found myself reflecting on and saying, I worship God, I adore God for this. Based on something that I read in the passage, I find myself acknowledging that, I find myself realizing that, I find myself even typing that on the WhatsApp group, but not experiencing the worship that ought to flow out of that revelation of Jesus that I have received in my life. You know, that's how big the gap is. We all live in the knowledge of Jesus, but sadly, we often don't enjoy the experience of Him. What about us? Give us just a moment to reflect on, do we know Jesus only as a fact, or are we experiencing Jesus? this gap is real. Right? It doesn't matter how mature we are as followers, it doesn't matter for how many decades, it doesn't matter, you know, how big a church we might oversee, it doesn't matter. This gap is real in all of our lives. So the question is, how can I bridge this gap? We spoke about the Holy Spirit helping to bridge this gap, but I want to talk about another thing which really helps us. What is the biggest thing that really helps us bridge this gap, knowing Jesus is a fact and experiencing Jesus? Biggest thing that helps us bridge this gap is community. Right? When we come together physically or online, and when we talk about Jesus, when we inspire one another to love Jesus, I think coming together like this on Sundays has always energized me, has always inspired me to love Jesus more and to follow Him better. Our gap groups do that, and that's what a community Bible reading and the WhatsApp group that we use to share our daily reflections, that is what it is intended to do. And I want to just talk about this practical tool of WhatsApp, which I think I'm very excited about. Now, you know, we don't want to be a church that meets just on a Sunday. We don't want to be a church that meets on a Sunday, only a church that meets on a Sunday, and a gap group day, gospel application group day. We want to be a church 24/7. We want to be a church every day. We want this community to be a 24/7 community, and WhatsApp group in which we share our reflections on CBR helps us do that. As I reflect, we started the group in Jan, and as I look back and I reflect, I can see how much the simple practical tool has helped us live out this gospel truth that we're talking about, that proclaiming Jesus builds community. I've learned to, you know, WhatsApp can really be a pain in the wrong place. You know that, you know, it keeps meeting at most inappropriate of times. And I would struggle with that. But I've learned to see when WhatsApp beeps, when I see some posts on CBR, the group that we share, learn to see those as glorious interactions. Those are glorious interactions. Glorious interactions from our own sinfulness, from our own vulnerability to put whatever we bring first in Jesus. I've learned to celebrate those glorious interactions. When my WhatsApp beeps with a message to the CBR group, I've learned to see those as reminders to worship Jesus. Because 9 times out of 10, when I get a message from the CBR group, I have forgotten to worship Jesus. I have slipped into self-worship. I have slipped into preoccupation with self. And Jesus has gone, been relegated somewhere deep in the background. So I've learned to celebrate those WhatsApp messages as opportunities to worship. Now, that's the third thing I want to look at, is how does proclaiming Christ build community? I spoke about it a little bit, but let me dwell on it a little bit more. Now, imagine Aji and I having an argument at our home. Now, don't let your imagination go too vivid. A little bit of imagination is enough. Imagine that we are having a fierce argument in our home. We have very fierce arguments at times. Right? In the heat of our arguments, our phones beep. Yes, we check WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, even when we are fighting. In fact, that is our favorite sulk mode. Yeah, when we are upset with each other, when we are hurt with each other, when we are sulking, our favorite sulk mode is take the phone. You know, we're probably lying on the bed, she's turning the other side, I'm turning this side, and you know, we were also, so I think basically escaping the reality of our sinfulness. Now imagine we are having this fierce argument and WhatsApp beeps, and then someone who's posted a message in the CBR group on the beauty of Jesus. Can we continue that topic? Can we continue that discipline? What impact do you think that's going to have on us? That's a reminder to two of us who have forgotten the gospel in the moment that we are fighting. That's true for all of us as a community, it's not just us and women. You know, it's shocking. I think we are not shocked at our sinfulness as much. Imagine you've done a friend a favor, right? And the next day the friend goes and talks nonsense about you again. or the friend is not grateful for what you done. How do you feel?
I feel angry.
You know, when I help someone and that person doesn't even acknowledge it, I'm really upset. Isn't that what we do every single day? How much do we forget that Jesus? That's true, isn't it? God gave His love for us, has given us this community so that each of us can remind each other about the beauty of what Jesus has done for us. You know, there are two kinds of community. The first kind of community is where people hang out a lot, where Christ is hardly ever proclaimed. Christ is mostly relegated into the background and is hardly ever remembered in a community. It's a Christian community. This is coming to be our followers of Jesus. That's the first kind of community. The second kind of community I'm talking about is where Christ is the very heart of community. He is proclaimed frequently, not just by words, but the lives that the people in the community live. I've been a follower of Jesus for about 22 years, and I've seen several examples of both kinds of communities. I've lived and been part of both kinds of community. In my experience, both these kinds of communities experience deep interpersonal conflict. You heard me right. The community that puts Jesus at the center, proclaims Jesus all the time, experiences interpersonal conflict as much as a community that doesn't put Jesus at the center. But the community that proclaims Jesus, the community that is alive to what Jesus is doing every day, is the community that will be able to weather these challenges better and move on and grow deeper and grow larger. Community that is not proclaiming Jesus, sure, has a lot of fun for the season, but just a question of time before it hits us away. Why do these conflicts happen? Why do we struggle so much? Some of us have heard about these five love languages. It's a very, very useful tool. It's a great help for married couples, but it's also great for everyone in the community. The essential pieces that there are five love languages, which are common to all of us. Physical affection, one love language. Quality time is another love language. Words of affirmation is another love language. Acts of service is another love language. Gifts are another love language. So essential pieces is that each of us are used to receiving love in our love language. But nobody ever told you about a sixth love language. That is common to all of us. Now, some of us may have acts of love as a love language, some of us may have time, some of us may have physical affection, but the sixth love language, which no one has ever talked about, is common to all of us. And the sixth love language is what I call self-love. That is basically the primary love language of all of us. You know, deep inside, we are all selfish people. In any community, including in marriage, each of us are vulnerable and do put ourselves above others in community. And in such communities, as we proclaim Jesus more and more, by God's grace, we start moving away from self-love and we start moving towards loving others in our community. So that's the first gospel truth that I want to draw out from this passage. Proclaiming Jesus builds community. The second thing that I want to talk about is confessing our sins builds community. And let me establish this again from the passage that we just read. I'm going to look at verse 7, the passage we read. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. So this passage, this verse, talks about one action that leads to two consequences. The action is if we walk in the light, and that has two consequences. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We grow in community with one another, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. But what does walking in the light mean? So it's a figure of speech, but literally, practically, what does that mean? And the answer lies if you look at verse 7 and verse 9 together. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus the Son purifies us from all sin. And verse 9 is actually an explanation of verse 7. It says, if we confess our sins, He will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Essentially, John is explaining that walking in the light is nothing but confessing our sins to one another. Let me just quickly pull out one more verse from the book of John. Not one John, but John the Gospel, which also John wrote. Establish this and we move on with application and we will close after that. I'm looking at John chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done is being done in the sight of God. Walking in the light is what confessing our sins to one another in community. Getting back to what we started, where we started with, I just reworded this verse, looking at verse 9 and being the combined meaning to it. If we confess our sins to one another, we have fellowship. Confessing our sins to one another builds community. Those of us who are not followers of Jesus, I know this looks very weird. Why on earth, would I go around confessing my sins to members of community? It makes us uncomfortable. So relax. At the end of the service, we're not going to pass the mic to everyone and say, please confess your sin. So this whole confession business, I know, can be uncomfortable. It can even be intimidating. The point is not to put anyone in a spot and say, now confess, and wire them up to a lie detector test to make sure that they're actually confessing. No, that's not what it is. I'm not even talking about a confession that we make. I'm talking about a lifestyle of confession. I'm talking about an open and honest lifestyle where each of us really acknowledge, voluntarily acknowledge our struggles. Where each of us acknowledge that we are not perfect. Where each of us acknowledge that we are flawed. And if you're part of that CBR group that we have on WhatsApp, I think we are beginning to hear that. I'm not saying we are a community that is completely free of pretension. I'll be the first one to admit that I am pretentious quite often. I do pretend quite often. But I'm learning by God's grace, inspired by the gospel, to slowly put aside my pretenses so that I can be more honest, more vulnerable, more transparent. Let me just share a couple of confessions which people made in the CBR group this week. I just picked Friday, and here's where we read Philippians 3. I was personally gripped by verse 8 in the book of Philippians. It said, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. As I'm meditating in my CBR on this verse, I realized that to know Jesus, to love Him, to follow Him, I have to lose a few things. I cannot grow in my knowledge and experience of Jesus unless I use it things. Unless I consider them garbage. In the relative importance I assign to something, everything else is garbage compared to knowing Christ. And I was convicted deeply that security and comfort are things I am clinging on to as I am following Jesus. I'm not ready to far from look at that as garbage. Security and comfort to my heart are precious. And I am not willing to lose those in my journey of following Jesus. And that's the confession that I made. Anisha Mahima, she's not here today, but she made another confession. She was reading the book of Jeremiah, and she made a confession from that book. And this chapter talks about Jeremiah being thrown into a pit, to a cistern, and then he's brought back up just for obeying God, and he never prayed. And Anisha Mahima, she shared, and she said, I've come to see, I'm convicted that I really grieve a lot. And not only was she convicted, when she put the confession, I was convicted too, that I grieve a lot, even though God has blessed me so much. That's what I mean by confession. a lifestyle of open, honest confession as we follow Jesus. Why do people like music? You know, we have a lot of people come, and there is something about music which God has engineered, which people like. And we talk to people. Every time someone comes new or just comes for 2-3 weeks, we always think about feedback so we can learn and grow and help serve people better. And one of the things, two things we hear. The first thing we hear is there's a warmth, there's a fellowship, there's a community, which is great, which is good. The second thing that we hear is that people tell us that there is an honesty about us. We don't pretend that we are perfect. We don't put on an act that I am better than you. Our faith is not fake. It is not an act that I put on. Our faith is an honest faith. We share our struggles. We do not hide our faiths. I think that's what we are slowly growing in. We have a lot more to grow in this, but this is something which is beginning to define who we are as a church, who we are as a community. So confessing our sins does enable us to grow in community. I'll just take a minute to just share three caveats actually about confession. This does not mean that when we meet anyone and everyone, we keep confessing all the sins that we did during the week. That's not what it means. There is an appropriate place, there is an appropriate time, there has to be comfort, right? It's free and voluntary. That clearly needs to be said. Second, confession is only the beginning of the process of repentance. I think we are very capable of fooling ourselves, our confessor, our repentance. Repentance is hard work. It's not as easy as we think it is. So confession is only the beginning of repentance, not the completion of it. And last, confessing a sin doesn't give us the license to continue indulging in it. Confession has to move us towards the path of overcoming that sin by faith in Jesus, by the work of His gospel and His Holy Spirit in us. Confession shouldn't lead us on the path of taking a license. So that's those caveats I thought were important to share. We're done looking at the two theological truths, two gospel principles on how God builds community. Proclaiming Christ Jesus builds community, and confessing our sins to one another builds community. Community Bible reading does both very well. If you look at the four boxes that we try and reflect on in our Bible reading, what can I adore God for? What can I worship God for from the passage that I just read? What is my sin that I can see and repent for and confess from the passage that I read? And having seen my sin, how can I run to the cross to find the forgiveness and acceptance that is always there for me in Christ Jesus? How can I thank Jesus for His salvation last? How can I pray for the Holy Spirit to help me in specific ways? So we have this WhatsApp group in which we share. This is a group that's been going on for a while. We don't preach to others in this group. That's not the goal of this group. What we do is we share how God has preached the gospel to us from the passage that we have. What I want to do is I want to just take 2 minutes to unpack for us the importance of sharing our reflections in the WhatsApp group. And that's going to be the third thing we're going to look at today as we close. How WhatsApp can be a tool to make our joy complete. Why do we encourage people not only to the community by the way, but also to share that in WhatsApp? And that's where in the passage we read, verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. Who is writing this? John, who was closest to Jesus. He's not writing, we write this to make your joy complete. We proclaim Jesus to make your joy complete. That's not what John is saying. John is saying, we write this to make our joy complete. John is saying, my joy in experiencing Jesus is complete only when I proclaim Jesus to the community that I am a part of. John is basically saying that if we do not proclaim our experience of Jesus in our community, our joy is incomplete. The fullness of the joy of knowing and experiencing Jesus comes only when we proclaim. It remains incomplete. And so when you receive your, when I receive your, when you experience Jesus in some little way on that day, the joy of experiencing Jesus is complete only when we share it with others. And WhatsApp is an amazing tool in which we can share those reflections. I want to close with leading us into just one thought. When God brings us into a Christ-centered community, He gives every one of us a responsibility to serve in that community. All of us, doesn't matter, you know, how good we are or how simple we are in our own eyes, all of us are the same level, you know, all of us are equally simple. But all of us, God has given us a responsibility to serve the community. We can serve in many ways. The setup team, someone makes snacks for the setup team. Think of ways how we can serve. That's amazing, isn't it? Someone's bringing snacks, people are volunteering to bring snacks, like for the team that comes to setup. The people who help back up, people who help lead worship, play the instruments, write blogs, speech, many ways to serve the community. But the most primary way each of us serve this community is by proclaiming Jesus. Apart from proclaiming Jesus to each other, anything else is an after that part. I think the primary way every one of us serves this community is by proclaiming Jesus in this community. Did you experience Jesus? Do you feel self-conscious about it? Or what do people think if I share on WhatsApp? Let me encourage you. Don't be inhibited by that. I'll be very honest, I think some of us are feeling lazy to share on the WhatsApp group. So I encourage us to just overcome that laziness. When we share, when we proclaim Jesus, not just on Sundays, not just on Gap Day, when we proclaim Jesus to the community, in our community, every single day, and when we are vulnerable and have a lifestyle confessing our sins to one another in community, God will make this community grow. God will bless each of us. And God will help us bridge that gap each of us struggle with between knowing Jesus is back and experiencing Jesus. We just pray and then we go to the band to come up and do one last song. We look at I surrender.